Plastic pollution is killing wildlife, strangling our waterways and ruining our beaches, and is now seeping up through the food chain and voila, being served with our food. This is the Pristine Ocean Podcast. My name is Peter Hall. Each episode, we hear from changemakers fighting the scourge of plastic pollution. Let's talk about the circular economy. I think most people understand that if we are going to continue to benefit from the usefulness of plastic, that burning, burying, or dumping is simply not sustainable. We need to feed plastic waste back into the plastic production chain. Ideally, to the point where we need little or no new plastic material to be created. An interesting player in the circular economy space is PlastiSchool. PlastiSchool provides the tools and know-how for entrepreneurs to create business models around upcycling plastic waste into useful products like furniture and bricks. The fascinating thing about PlastiSchool is that it is run by young professionals with experience in the waste industry and who live in the countries heavily impacted by plastic pollution. Our guest today is Kanika Ahuja, who is the co-founder of PlastiSchool. Kanika Ahuja, welcome to the Pristine Ocean Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Kanika, where are you sitting?
I'm from Delhi. We're leading the PlastiSchool Secretariat from India this year. But the PlastiSchool founders are spread across three continents in Europe, Africa, and Asia.
What would you say if you looked out the window?
Oh, there's this Aravalli mountain range outside from my window right now. And it's the monsoon, so it looks really pretty. It's all lush green forests, which is a rare sight in Delhi. And for once, like, the skies are blue, it's cloudy and sunny, and we don't have a pollution problem.
Straight to the heart of the matter with pollution.
Yeah, Delhi's become quite infamous for the air pollution problem.
So you're talking about air pollution. PlastiSchool is about plastic. Can you say a few words around the plastic pollution situation in Delhi?
Yes, plastic waste in Delhi, like as much as in other cities, it's become a very severe problem. And Delhi more so, because since it's a landlocked city, and a very populated city, we don't even have landfill space anymore. The landfills that have been assigned by the government, they're at like five times the capacity, which is not only hampering the soil and water under this land, but it's also creating really accidental events like the overspillage of garbage, or like even cows and dogs eating all of this garbage. This is just polluting all flora and fauna today and the communities that live near this landfill.
When did you personally first become aware of plastic pollution?
So it was actually a really long time ago. I was, I think, maybe 12 years old. And I was part of the environment club in school. And we had gone for this river cleanup program. The Yamuna River flows through Delhi. And as soon as it lands in Delhi, touches Delhi, it becomes completely polluted because of the industrial and household sewage that's coming in. Today, it's even more polluted because of the plastic waste and textile waste that the river carries. And when we had gone for this river cleanup program, all the students were lined across the banks of the river, and we took, like, we had these sticks with us, and we were pulling out garbage from the river. That was the first time I realized that, you know, how much plastic is really getting wasted. And over the years, it has just increased. And fortunately, like, you know, most of my family members also have been working in the environment sector, in different sectors of the environment, for energy efficiency, waste management, pollution control laws. And so I have from childhood been very aware of these problems and how they've been growing. And even my first visit to a landfill was at when I was 14 or 15 years old. That was when I was first truly touched by how the community over there lives. And so along with waste as a problem, it was also a problem of the waste workers. So to, you know, the goal became to design a solution that is also inclusive of that community.
I was really curious about an expression you used when you were describing your early experiences with how much plastic was being wasted rather than how much waste plastic is landing in the environment. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So I think India as a country, we are not very, culturally, we have not been very inclined to waste things. When we see how our grandmothers lived, and, you know, we're still from a generation who has seen our grandmothers saving everything, reusing and recycling everything from textiles to containers to using open groceries, ration. So this packaging is still very new to India. And right now it's still in like the tier one, tier two cities. But there is an aspiration because of like the influence from the West. Packaged products and like now even packaged vegetables, like all the higher end grocery stores have started selling packaged vegetables, which is just going in the wrong direction now. But because, you know, there is this aspiration to mimic the West, we're losing that culture of just being green. Earlier it used to be because, you know, we didn't want to spend as much money. So as incomes are increasing in India, these aspirations to mimic the West are increasing, but we are trying to salvage those traditions, keep that heritage alive. And because, you know, this is not the time where India can afford to get into the industrial revolution and mimic the West in these kind of sectors.
So I'm hearing a bit of a tension between the Western single-use influence and a more traditional sense of reusing materials.
Yes. So, I mean, the Indian government also at this point is creating a lot of awareness, and they've taken very strict steps on curbing single-use plastics. And India is one of the first countries who's put a strict ban on single-use plastics. And but how that policy is treated on the ground, we're yet to see. And also, like, you know, it cannot be a harsh step like that because the plastic industry in India is quite big. And so if we just turn off tap, there is a lot of also people who are going to be unemployed. And so before we make this transition at such a sudden step, we also need to reskill these people into, like, you know, circular jobs of the future so that we have an inclusive shift towards a circular economy.
Okay, you're already talking about the future and you've already created the organization Plasti School. Tell us a little bit about Plasti School.
So Plasti School was founded in, the idea came up in 2019.
The idea came up. Whose idea was it?
So actually, it was a very collaborative discussion that led to this idea. So, like, it's not a one-person owned idea. It was, orchestrated by this event that we all were at. This was by So Science. So Science is this French organization which Perrier France had funded to create solutions for plastic packaging that is environmentally friendly. And so they had invited innovators from across the world and who were working in recycling or natural solutions, and to just, you know, get together in a room to brainstorm if we can, like, come up with a solution for packaging.
Okay, just taking a step back. So you were already involved at that stage in thinking about solutions.
Yes. So because all of us came from backgrounds where we were already developing something either with plastics or, like, creating natural materials from, like, mushroom waste or, like, fish scales to develop new materials. So a lot of material engineers, material innovators were present at that conference. And so my organization, my Indian organization, Conserve India, which is like a parent organization, that has already been working in plastic waste since 2006, developed a technology to convert single-use plastics like polythene bags and wrappers, like multi-layered packaging, into a sort of vegan leather. And this material we've been using to craft fashion accessories and home decor products, basically to substitute leather. And this, our work in this field had led us to France to brainstorm on this, about how we can create food grade packaging, which is environment friendly. Getting into food grade packaging is another step, absolutely, because, you know, there are severe norms that have to be followed. And it was interesting to have to know all of these people from across the world who were, you know, developing these ideas. And we all felt that, you know, in our own countries, we've been working on these solutions for, like, some of us, like, for many years. But, you know, the impact that we've been able to achieve is not that much, you know, looking at the scale of the problem. And so that is why we all, like, thought that we need to put our technologies together, put our solutions together, and, you know, create a bigger model that can be more adaptable, that is more flexible to fit into different geographies for different problems, and then, like, cater it to different locations depending on what the problem is over there. And so this is how, like, you know, Plastic School was born out of a discussion. So that's why, like, you know, it was a collaborative, extremely collaborative idea to come up.
And what was the original idea?
So we all had this problem that, you know, like, we wanted more technologies to come into India because, like, India, you know, we have this large waste worker population, which are, you know, highly exploited lot of society. And they are actually the most important link for the waste management system. But they have no recognition because the sector is not formalized. So the only thing that they get is, like, you know, collection and segregation of waste, which is very low paying. So technologies like these, you know, when they come to India, then we can train these waste workers and upgrade their skills and actually formalize them into micro enterprises. So when we had gone for that conference, that was actually on our mind that we want to get more technologies to India. And similarly, like, you know, people from Uganda, from Kenya, they all felt the same way.
So the problem before your eyes was focused on the waste workers and their lack of organization, their lack of structures to provide them with adequate salary and organization, safety and health.
Yes, so our vision at Conserve India has always been twofold. It has been environmental and social both. Okay. So that's why, like, aiding the waste workers is definitely important on the agenda, but so is the problem of plastic waste.
Yep.
And so that is why, like, you know, we wanted to understand, like, what are more innovations that can be adapted to the Indian climate. And similarly, like, you know, other countries felt the same way because they're also dealing with, you know, very similar problems.
Which other countries were coming to the table and you were brainstorming with?
I mean, there were people from South America, from California, from other countries as well. But the group that got together mm-hmm. for this project who were we had a similar thought on where what we could do together were our partners today are from Kenya, Vietnam, Zambia, and Uganda and France.
You established this focus on waste work. Is that right?
On plastic pollution.
Plastic pollution, yeah.
Yeah, so plastic pollution is the first goal. And mm-hmm. then it is to do it inclusively and then to have, like, it as a school so that it is educated.
So I can already hear this, the school part in plastic school.
Yes. So the school is like two-pronged, right? It's also skilling waste workers and it's also creating awareness for the youth and general public.
Okay. So what is Plastic School?
So Plastic School has these, basically, you know, these three agendas that I spoke about. And it is, we accomplish this by creating micro factories. So all of us came with our own different technologies. We also modeled it on, like, the work being done by Fab Labs and Precious Plastics, and how we can incorporate these kind of technologies into, like one platform.
Okay. Micro factories might be a term that some people have not heard. What is a microfactory?
So microfactory is like a small scale factory. So we customize these in like deployable shipping containers, and they can also be made as mobile units. And so these have small scale machinery. So we're not talking about industrial grade machinery or so the power requirements, the input output, of course, is at a smaller scale. So it's meant for like limited editions manufacturing and, you know, for short production runs. And so this is how like we wanted to become a stepping stone for entrepreneurs who are coming into this field. And because plastic recycling itself is you know, becoming a very fast growing industry, and just for the economic value of it. And but a lot of entrepreneurs don't have the capital expenses either to get into, you know, to start their own factory. So this also, if like plastic school microfactories exist in like, you know, different countries and different locations, this can also be used as for entrepreneurs as a stepping stone to, you know, get their short production runs done and start their businesses and collect capital to become bigger.
So it's like a sort of template for entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And you also mentioned two organizations, FabLab and Precious Plastics. A lot of people know these names. Maybe you could just say a few words around that for the people who don't.
So Precious Plastics, you know, it's become the most popular name for like DIY machinery for plastics upcycling. Mm-hmm. But like a gap that we found while building Plastic School, especially most of us coming from developing countries, was that, you know, like we are people who are looking to get into plastics, like the plastics recycling business. Like firstly, Precious Plastics machines are not meant for a business. You know, it's still like very relatively small scale. Mm-hmm. And so it's more, you know, like for a passion project or, you know, for a hobby. But we wanted to create an assortment of machines. And so that people can experiment. Firstly, it can become a design lab or like a prototyping lab. And then secondly, only for like short production runs. Like this limited editions manufacturing was a concept that, you know, we've got from Fab Labs. And we want to like produce products that are for the local needs of the territory. And microfactories are not meant for mass producing items. And then Precious Plastics also one disadvantage that we faced was that people like in developing countries will still not understand how to proceed once the DIY kit is there. So that's why we're also in Plastic School, we're also working to develop a foundation course and to get them to that level and to understand like which kind of plastics can be used in what machine, like to have like molds and prototypes ready so that, you know, all that people have to do is like get their plastic waste and make the product from the molds and prototypes already available. And so there is also a skilling concept to Plastic School, which is we felt as a group very important for developing countries.
Okay, so you provide the tools, the physical tools, you provide the training, and you provide the business model, I presume, and the schooling to put it all together to make enable, empower a local entrepreneur to make a business out of this.
Yes.
Can you say a few things about the financial side? The margins in the waste area, very thin. How do you make money out of this?
The Plastic School microfactory in itself is a self-sustaining model because the products that we're producing, like these can be extremely like low-end products to extremely high-end products. And so so that's why the value addition matters. Mm-hmm. And we try to like at Conserve India, we have a value addition of 3,000% for like products that we're making. And because, you know, it was very important for us to have like a fair wage for everybody involved in the supply chain. So even with the Plastic School microfactories, like in the pilot that we're running right now, we're averaging the costs to like have a high enough value addition. Like we're making, you know, from low value products that can be like sold in the community itself to certain high grade, high value products that can be sold at like higher boutique and fashion stores. And so that the average value produced can be high enough to support the costs of the project as well as to make profit.
More utility products. Tell us a little bit about the types of products that you have in mind.
With the Ugandan microfactory, we're going to be producing things for school children. And like these are stationery products and like scales, toys, pencil boxes. So because the Ugandan municipality has already placed an order for the schools in the municipality. So that's the prime route of products that is being taken right now. But we are also experimenting with the building like furniture. You might have seen some images of the furniture that was produced. These are like tabletops, outdoor furniture. So these are going, these will be high value products because design sensibility is and aesthetics is being taken to give it a high value product value. And beyond that, we'll also be experimenting with construction tiles. And these will be low cost housing tiles, which can be used in the community itself.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. And I can imagine that the school kids, when they have those articles and know the story around them, is already an educational factor there.
Yes, and the good thing is that they can come to the microfactory and also like learn how to make them themselves. And so this is how we're also trying to create more awareness to look at plastic waste as a resource.
Fantastic. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I want this to be a meta network of microfactories. So currently, we're working on the pilot, but we're very keen on getting microfactories to all the founder countries like in the next 2 years. And we're also looking for members to come in from across the world, from different like areas, different geographies, because, plastic waste is a menace everywhere. And we have the machinery and technology now to support any kind of plastic waste. And so this is something that can be deployed in every locality to decentralize how we process plastic waste. And we want to create this meta network where everybody, who has a plastic school microfactory is connected on this network. They can have knowledge sharing, like new innovation, and contribute to this movement. And not just be microfactory owners, but contribute to this movement, have a peer-to-peer learning so that we can really change the plastic pollution problem.
That's a really compelling story. And I think a lot of people would find that really interesting. How could they get involved?
Please write to us at hello@plasticschool.org. We're happy to touch base with you. We're looking for more members and people to join us, to join this movement.
Kanika Ahuja, all the best with this fantastic project. I'm really excited for you and I'm really looking forward to hearing about how it develops.
Thank you so much, Peter, and thank you for covering our work.
That was Anika Ahuja from Plastic School. If you'd like to find out more about Plastic School, check out the show notes. As ever, if you'd like to comment or give feedback about the episode, get in touch at peter.hall@pristineocean.global. Thanks for listening to the Pristine Ocean podcast, where we talk to change makers fighting the scourge of plastic pollution.